Would you turn back to Hebrews chapter 3? Let me give you the title to this message, The Conditional If. The Conditional If. Notice in our text that Christ, as a son over his own house in verse 6, whose house are we if? If. Look in verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if. If. Hold your finger there and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21, and you that were sometime or before time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The conditional if. What does conditional mean? Conditional means something can only take place if certain conditions are met. Here's an example. If you are over 6 foot six, I want you to come up here and I'm going to give you $20. Anybody meet that condition? I've saved my money. I picked out that height. I didn't say anybody over 6 foot. Somebody might have taken me seriously. But if you don't meet the condition of being 6 foot six, you don't get the $20. Now, I could say anybody who will be saved if they first stop committing a certain sin. And if you do that, then you will be saved. Now, I've given a condition that you must meet before you can be saved. Now, this is not an exaggeration when I say 99% of what goes on under the name of Christianity presents a conditional salvation. If you do this, then God will save you. That is a conditional salvation. It's called salvation by works. There's no gospel in that message. For instance, the message that is preached in almost every pulpit in Lexington, Kentucky, is that God loves everybody. Christ died for everybody. God sincerely wants to save everybody, but there is some condition you must first meet before you will be saved. You must first have to accept him as your personal savior. You know, I feel such contempt for that kind of language. Accept him as your personal savior? He's the savior, whether he's your personal savior or not. Christ will save you if you first repent of your sins. And if you repent of your sins, then Christ will save you. Some condition is thrown out that you must first meet before you can be saved. You cannot be saved unless you, of your will, decide to believe on Christ. If you, of your free will, decide to believe on Christ, then you will be saved. That is salvation by works. Someone that believes that does not believe the gospel. You see, there's two major insurmountable problems with that kind of thinking. Number one, it's not what the Bible teaches. We look to God's word alone, and that is not what the scripture teaches. And number two, a man dead in sins cannot meet any conditions. What if I said to a dead man, I will give you $1 million if you'll just get up and receive it? I'd still have my $1 million, wouldn't I? Because the man dead in sins could not do anything in salvation. Now, I want to talk for a moment about unconditional salvation. Unconditional salvation. And let me say this, that's the only kind of salvation there is. Unconditional salvation. What does unconditional mean? It's not subject to any conditions that must first be met. You know, the leper understood this. When he came into Christ's presence and said, Lord, if you will, there's no conditions I can meet. There's nothing I can do to make myself clean. If you will. If you unconditionally will my salvation, not by waiting for me to do anything. If you will my salvation, if you will, you can make me clean. God's salvation is unconditional. There are no conditions you must meet in order for Him to save you. Let me repeat that. God's salvation is unconditional. There are no conditions you must meet before God saves you. Now, God's salvation is not unconditional in the sense that there are conditions that must be met. Justice must be satisfied. None of God's attributes can be abused, or any salvation that's contrary to any of God's attributes is not right. There are certain conditions that must be completed with, or I won't be saved. But there is no condition the sinner must meet before God can save him. Now let me show you that from the scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now these are David's last words right before he dies. Notice it says in verse 1, these be the last words of David. Now that puts some significance to what's being said at this time. David had gone through a lot. David was used by God to write the Psalms. David, by God's appointment, had become the most powerful man in the world in a military sense. The scripture actually says the fear of David fell upon all nations. I mean, every country was scared to death. They knew if they got in the battle with David, David would win. David was called the man after God's own heart. And I don't know of a commendation that could be greater than that. God said with regard to this man, David, his heart beats with mine. Don't you want to be that person? Where God would say of you, his heart, her heart beats with mine. Now David's dying. He's had all these experiences. And he doesn't mention any of them. But what does he say? Look in verse 5. He says, although my house be not so with God. Now, the Lord told him after the incident with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah that the sword would never leave his house. And he had more problems in his home. He had two of his sons tried to kill him. He had murders. It was just a mess. But it wasn't all a mess. Bathsheba was a believer. Abigail was a believer. There were other people in his family who believed the gospel. So when he's talking about his house not being so with God, I have no doubt that he was not really referring to his family. He's referring to this house. Quite often in the Bible, our bodies are called our house, our habitation. This house. Although my house be not so with God. And there's no condition that I can meet. That's what that means. There is no condition that I can meet. Do you know what David meant when he said that? Do you understand that? Although my house be not so with God, there's not one thing about me naturally that could recommend myself to God. There's not one condition that I can meet. If he gives any condition, you need to do this before you can be saved, I can't do it. Although my house be not so with God, yet, he, the God of glory, hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Now, don't miss that word everlasting. This covenant was made before I was ever born, before I could meet any conditions. Paul put it this way in Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. Eternal. Ordered in all things. And sure. And this is all my salvation. This eternal covenant, this although yet he made with me, this is all my salvation. And not only is it all my salvation, it really is all I desire. I don't want it to be any other way. If God cut into my heart, I say this fearfully, but I know this, I don't want to stand before God in my works in any way. I want to stand in Christ, in that eternal covenant. This is all my salvation and all my desire. And then he makes this, I think, very hard statement to grasp, though he make it not to grow. Now, why did he say that? That's kind of unusual, isn't it? Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. This is all my desire, though he make it not to grow. David, do you not care anything about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What does he mean? My salvation can't grow. It can't get bigger. It's already infinitely big. You can't add anything to it. It can't grow. I'm complete in Christ. Can you add anything to that? Can you add anything to being complete in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, he doesn't make it grow because it's so big it can't grow. It's infinite. in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that my house is not so with God does not prevent God from making with me an everlasting covenant. Now, this is what you could call a unilateral covenant. God just saying, I'm doing this. It's done. It's not God saying, I'll do this if you do that. I'll do this if you meet this condition. I'll meet this. No, it's a unilateral covenant. Done. Done. No beginning, no ending. Salvation is of the Lord. Now that tells me there's no conditions I must first meet before God will save me. Turn to Romans 11 for a moment. Verse 5. Romans chapter 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant, a small number, who believe, is what he's referring to, according to the election of grace. What a glorious word. The election of grace. Now let's read verse. If by grace, then it's no more of conditions. That's what that means. Same thing. If it's by grace, it's no more of conditions. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of conditions, don't call it grace. Because that is not grace. Now, when we talk about salvation, salvation is by grace. By grace are you saved. Not by grace will you be saved if by grace ye are saved. Through faith. And that faith, it's not of yourselves. It's not because of any condition you met and you came up with the faith. It's the gift of God. The very faith that you possess right now. There wasn't some condition you met in order to have it. He gave it to you. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God's ancient choice of his people before time began, election, is unconditional. That means he didn't look at you and see if there's anything that would make you worthy of his election. Utterly unconditional. The forgiveness of sins is unconditional. God doesn't forgive you because you did this or you did that. As a matter of fact, salvation begins with the full, free, complete forgiveness of sins. It's not the end of the equation. If I do this and if I do that, then I'll be forgiven. No, it begins. You know what happens when you're forgiven? You find out, I've been forgiven. Justification? You didn't do anything to be justified. He declared you to be justified by what Christ did. Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Repentance is not some condition you meet. Well, I must repent. Then, no. Repentance is called, then hath God to the Gentiles granted, given repentance. For the remission of sins. Our perseverance, being kept, is that of being kept by the power of God through faith and to salvation. Our growth in grace is by grace. Work out your own salvation. Fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do. That covers everything, doesn't it? It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, if there were one single condition that I had to meet before God could save me, if there were one sin that I had to master and commit no more before God could save me, I wouldn't be saved. Nor would you. But thank God, salvation is unconditional. Now, one term that I hate is unconditional love. I hate that term because God doesn't love me unconditionally. He loves me because I'm in Christ. It's not just some kind of, if he could love me unconditionally, he could quit loving me unconditionally. But his love is in Christ Jesus. It's conditioned upon Christ. So when we speak of unconditional love, no such thing. He loves me in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as me meeting some kind of condition in order to have it, it is unconditional. Now let me give you some scriptures. Turn with me to Psalm 106. I'd like you to look at these with me. Verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved him for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He didn't save them because of any condition they met. They didn't. He saved them for his name's sake. Turn to Isaiah 43. Verse 22, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering or weary thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. One more scripture, Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 31, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this. Saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Now, is there any doubt that this is what the scripture teaches? What I'm preaching right now, is this the teaching of the scripture? Yes, it is. Question: does this lead to fatalism? Does this lead to apathy and indifference? Does this lead to sinful living. After all, our sins cannot prevent us from being saved. If he's willed our salvation, therefore, we're not worried about it. Fatalism, apathy, indifference, licentiousness. Oh, this is a license to sin. That is the response of an unbeliever. If I hear what I just heard and think, great, this gives me a license to sin. I don't need to worry about it anymore. No doubt many have responded that way. You know why? Because the Lord's never done anything for them. That would not be the response of a believer. Thy people shall be willing. Volunteers in the day of thy power. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to spend probably at least three messages looking at Hebrews chapter 3, the rest of it, verse by verse. But what I want us to do, and I'm going to give you some scriptures to think about, is consider some scriptures that use the word if. There's no doubt that salvation is not dependent upon anything I do. It's not that God will not save me unless I first do this. And when I do this, that enables him to do something for me. That's anathema. That's salvation by works. Somebody that preaches that, somebody that believes that, does not believe the gospel. They have no understanding of the gospel. They have no understanding of their own sinfulness. They have no understanding of God's holiness. If they look at something different than salvation for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, an unconditional salvation does not exclude these conditional ifs. Now, if there's a pot of boiling oil on the range and it's bubbling over, if you stick your hand in it, what will happen? It'll be burnt, won't it? Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to ask you to turn to these scriptures. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to go over them rapidly, and I'm not going to spend much time on any one of them, but I want you to see this. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, the Lord had just given what is known as the disciples' prayer. And how I love this prayer. And there's only one part he commented on when he gave this prayer. Look in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's what the Lord said. Does that mean my forgiveness is totally dependent upon me forgiving somebody else? No, it means this. If I don't forgive, I've never been forgiven. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. John chapter 7. Verse 16, Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of God. Now look what it says here in verse 17. It's so important. If any man will do his will, there's a conditional if any man will do his will, he'll know the doctrine. whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If I will do his will, if that's my desire, if any man will do his will, he'll know the doctrine. Now, to believe something that the Bible doesn't teach is not just an intellectual problem. It's a sin problem. It's a rebellion problem. It's an unwillingness to do his will. And where there's an unwillingness to do his will, you're going to believe that which is contrary to God's word. If I believe something that God does not teach in his word, I chose to believe that, and it was willful. Now, if I believe the truth, I believe because it's the truth. I don't choose to believe the truth. I believe it because it's true. But if I believe something that's contrary to what God's word says, it's because of an unwillingness on my part to do his will. Now, here's our prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. Make me willing in every respect. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Not in being religious. You continue in my word. Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Indeed, if you do not continue in my word, you are not my true disciples. John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Notice he didn't say, if you see, then you'll believe. He said, if you believe, you'll see. And if you don't believe, you will not see. But if you believe, you'll see. John chapter 12. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, somebody may be thinking, what all does it mean to serve the Lord? Well, you believe the gospel, you're serving the Lord. Don't start thinking about things you need to do to be serving. If you believe the gospel, you serve the Lord. If any man serves the Lord, him will the Father honor. And if anyone doesn't serve the Lord, the Father is not going to honor that person. John chapter 13, verse 17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He was talking about feet washing. If you know these things, you know our feet get so dirty. We're clean every whit in Christ, but our feet get so dirty, we need them washed every single day in the gospel. That's always necessary. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you don't do them, it can't be said, happy are you. John 15, 14, let me start quoting them. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. This is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son and love one another as God gave his commandment. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If we don't keep his commandments, we're not his friend. Romans 10, 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But if you don't confess the Lord Jesus, if you don't believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you won't be saved. Galatians 11:8, though, and that's the same word, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you preached unto you, let him be accursed. If I preach another gospel, I'm accursed. If I preach the gospel, I'm not. Galatians 5:2, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you take that route and go into this conditional, you need to be circumcised, you need to fill in the blank before you can be saved. You need to do this, you need to do that. You need to stop doing this and stop doing that. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Strong words, isn't it? Colossians 1:13 says, forbearing and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. Were there any conditions you had to first meet for him to forgive you? Was there anything you did? Even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. The only way I live is by faith in the Son of God. The only way I live is by trusting him alone and looking nowhere else. Now, when we're talking about the just living by faith, the only way I'm just before God is because he made me just, and I'm relying on his Son to make me just. It doesn't have anything to do with some condition I've met. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if any man draw back from this thing of living only by faith, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is what we looked at last Sunday. Go ahead and look at 1 John 1. Look at all these ifs. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Every one of those verses has this if. Look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. If they had been of us, there's that if they had, they would no doubt have continued in the faith, grounded and settled. Now, in this unconditional salvation, every conditional if is met. You see, the reason you meet the conditions he speaks of is because he said, I will and they shall. That is why. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not moved from the hope of the gospel, if you're continuing in looking only to him, it's because he caused you to. And if you don't, if I don't, he hadn't done anything for us. The Lord said in John chapter 8:24, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. But if you believe that he is the great I am that I am, you will die without sin. Perfectly accepted in the Beloved. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you take your word and bless it to our hearts, and how we thank you for the unconditional, complete salvation that's in your Son, without our works, accomplished by him. And how we thank you that you work in us both to will and to do thy good pleasure. As we face this coming week, we pray that we might be privileged and enabled to walk by faith in thy Son. We pray that you would give us grace to honor you in our relationships. We ask that you give us grace to honor you in our jobs and our work. We ask that you would open up doors for us to preach your gospel to other people according to your will. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In his name we pray.